Welcome to Filmmakers Feedback, a program brought to you by Film Scoring Tips. I am Giovanni Rotondo and I will be your host for this series. The episodes are available as podcasts on all the major platforms and in video form. Make sure you visit filmscoringtips.com to find more info about that. The mission of this show is to better understand the relationship between filmmakers and composers and to find ways to increase one's chances creating long-lasting professional bonds. In this episode, filmmaker Anna Pia and I will talk about how social networks can be beneficial to composers and how sending a short film you scored might be a better idea than sending your showreel to a director you'd like to work with. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the show. Anna, thank you so much for being here. Second time shooting this, I forgot to hit the record button.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to have you. And I have a ritual question I ask all my guests. What kind of filmmaker are you?
I guess I've been focusing on drama, on fiction, mainly. The clip I sent you is actually my only documentary that I've done, but it's a little bit... It goes into a narrative style as well. But yes, I've done a period drama, and the feature film that I'm developing is also a drama with a twist of dark comedy. So that's kind of the type of filmmaker I am, I guess.
And you do write, direct, produce...
Well, it depends. I've done all those three. But as a writer, I don't think it's my best skill. So usually I write a story and a few notes of what I want to happen in a short film. And I tried working with a writer for the first time in film school, and I really loved it, and I've done that since, ever since, every time I can. Although with a feature, I'm writing it myself. It's such a tough process. Like, it doesn't feel, doesn't come as natural as directing to me.
Makes sense.
It's fun.
We all have our favorites.
Exactly.
And then
yeah.
We have to learn all these elements.
Yeah, it's fun. I guess the stories are always something that I want to do, that I come up with, but the writing itself, it's such a fun process to work with someone else as well. And you get someone else's little bit of their self as well in the story. And I quite like that.
Cool. So. And then I read you also have worked extensively as a script supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
I read Good Omens among your shows.
It's
a big one. I know you probably didn't have a chance to meet the music guys, but have you met David Arnold?
No, I didn't. Okay. No, that was very into post-production. I was
of
on
course.
Set. Yeah.
If we checked your iPhone right now, what would be the last track played on your Spotify or Apple Music or whatever application you use?
At the moment, it would actually be Debussy.
Nice.
So what
exactly?
Claire
de Lune.
Claire de Lune is the typical one, but it's something because it comes from my mom.
Oh, really?
It used to be her favorite one, and I played piano since I was 10 for 5 years. I actually have a degree.
Oh, wow.
So I always wanted to play Claire de Lune, and it's a little bit of, like, my teacher never gave me Claire de Lune to play. So I listen to it a lot. I do have the tab as well, but ever since then I moved here and my piano is back home, so you lose practice, and it's kind of like my aim in life to be able to play Claire de Lune from the start till end. It was 8 pages long. So I listen to Debussy a lot. It's very soothing, usually like at the end of the day. But I think that's like the last thing that would be on my phone at the moment. Yeah.
And, like, does it reflect in general the style of music you like to listen to the most, like classical?
No, not at all. I mean, I love listening to classical, but the majority will be indie rock. It'll be Black Keys, Blur, stuff like that. That's more what I like to listen to.
Does the fact that you studied piano help you when dealing with a composer on your projects, or does it, you know, or is it an obstacle for some reason? Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a very good thing. And it's not just when dealing with a composer. It's as a director, there's a sense of pacing. I feel like it's kind of ingrained in me, and I really think that's why I studied music.
Mm-hmm.
I think it helps me in all the process of making a film, and the script, and the directing, and dealing with a composer. It's easier because we have the same language. I'll understand what they're talking about, if it's harmonic, if it's melodic, if it's, you know, so it's a bit like, it's easier to express what I would like to change. And a musician will understand that, you know.
Yeah, that gives you a very big advantage over many of your colleagues, because you can spot that there is something that you don't like, and you know where this
is,
and
exactly.
You know how to point the composer to the real problem.
Definitely.
Whereas sometimes it's difficult.
I can understand how it would be complicated if someone wouldn't have the language, because that's the thing that you just said, like, it's spotting what's wrong, what feels like. And also because when you study music, you study so many backgrounds of, like, the first composer who tried doing, you know, anti-tempo, and what's in tempo and what's not. So you can experiment a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be a bit more like, you know, go crazy. Why don't you try this and that? And I think composers like to be given that freedom. You know, it does get a bit boring that so many, usually in the short film world, the typical just basic piano. And, you know, and it's like, maybe composers want to be out there doing something else. But if they're dealing with directors that don't have as much of a musical knowledge, I guess it might be a barrier. So I think it's actually really positive. I think everyone should be aware of some sense of what music can do and how important it is.
How do you feel about a composer you have never met reaching out to you via email or other channels?
Yeah, that happens quite a lot through my website usually.
Okay.
I feel absolutely, I think it's the right thing to do to start with. Otherwise, if you don't email, then I won't know you exist. So to start with, yeah, do that, of course. I think a lot of times is emailing at the right time is like, it's such a lucky thing, like if you're looking for someone or not. But I think it's also my responsibility to be respectful towards people who reach out, and maybe even starting to do like a list, you know, like, so I know this person exists and this is their contact and stuff like that. I do tend to go on their websites when they approach me and have an initial idea of what their style is, what they've done, what they like to do. You might just be really busy and that email fell on a really busy inbox and that's not your priority, and then it gets forgotten and there's nothing personal. Like, that's the important thing to say here. It's like, sometimes it's nothing personal, and do email back again in like 3 months' time, you know? To make the further connection, the one that really matters, the one that we sit down and we go like, let's sample this, let's see what you can come up with, or like, this is the story, what kind of vibe. I would prefer to ask you, what can you give me, instead of me going and telling you, I thought the music is going to be like this. The first thing for me would be maybe you spend a bit of your time and just be like, you know, if the story is about this, this and that, this is how I would imagine it, you All know? Right. And so if your proposal, and if your proposal is somewhat like, obviously, I tell you what the story means to me and all that. And if that's close to it, then it's, we should definitely be talking more about making this happen. So I think it's really important to meeting for a coffee as well.
Mm-hmm.
If it stays at the email stage, I don't think it can go very far, to be honest.
So you mentioned you might go on the person's website.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, every composer has a place where she or he can showcase the music they have composed. Sometimes it's a website. I'm betting sometimes you've been given
SoundCloud playlists.
What in a website would you... This is a question where you have to answer without thinking too much.
Yeah.
Like, where would you go in a website right away? What is the first place you subconsciously look for?
Usually I go straight to, if it says something like commercials or short films, or that's where I click first.
Okay, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and after I've seen what the person does, I go, if they do, which they should, I go to the about page to know more about the person.
So you would like, for a composer that has done many different genres and length, you would like a separation of short films, feature films?
They usually do, but I think it's helpful. Yeah, it's a completely different style, you know? Like if you know that I'm doing a drama and you only have commercials, then it's possible that you're very good at it, but then maybe you could put that in the text of the email and explain, you know, this is what I'm trying to do a bit more. And but usually they do tend to separate commercial, fiction,
mm-hmm.
documentary. Yeah. So because it interests me more, the fiction, I always go to the fiction first.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you watch showreels?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
And there too, you prefer to have a separation?
Or
would you rather for
if
the
it's, showreel? If it's a showreel and it explains, it tells me this is a commercial and that's a fiction, then that's all right. Right. Yeah. But to be honest, There's one composer I haven't managed to work with her, and she's who I'm gonna hire next, hopefully, if she'll allow me. And we've known each other from years and years ago from a film festival. And the way she got me was she actually sent me a private link of a full short. It's completely different to watch a showreel, because from a showreel, I don't actually understand if the music is helping the story. So it's a very different thing. And I know that most times you don't have access to these links because the directors don't give them to you and da da da. But you should probably ask them that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a work that you're really proud of and it really sets the mood, then I'm interested in seeing that more than a showreel, yeah.
I love this tip. It's great advice.
Yeah.
All right. What is the threshold for you to consider a composer too inexperienced to work on your film?
I was looking for a composer for Oath, the excerpt that I submitted for you. And in the meantime, there was a second after I chose the composer, there was a second composer that to me just completely stood out. He was just so lovely, and he was just like, but do you know what, do you have something else that I could do for you? And I did have an older short film that had gone into festivals already, And it had a track from a band. And I was like, I'd be interested in seeing if the track from the band is removed and you could, you know, play around with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just happy to do it because he was inexperienced. And my God, like, I absolutely love him. I follow him everywhere at the time. Like, he did such a great job, and I was a bit sad that I didn't meet him before, you know, when the film was going in festivals and stuff like that, because the soundtrack is now, like, potentially my favorite part of the film, like, and it, nice. it helped the story so much. So it was all to do with his attitude, and then really, really raw talent, really. But he was like, do you have something that I can do? You know, like, I'm not asking for anything, but I'm practicing and everything. I mean, the end result, I kept his soundtrack, and I talk about it constantly. It was such a great experience.
Did you end up working again with him?
Not yet. No, but I do follow him on Facebook a lot, and he's been doing really well now. So I'm really happy for him.
Let's talk about social composers and social media.
Yes.
Is it important for a composer nowadays to have a social media in order to get in a filmmaker's radar range? To have, to be on social media and to be active?
Oh, well, I think isn't anyone.
I don't know. I honestly don't like.
It's an odd one because I'm not a huge fan of social media at all. I only use it for work, and even that bothers me. But I think it really helps me to have a platform where I can see if they use the platform for work a bit like I do, then I find it really, really useful, because no one really goes to people's websites and look at the news. Mm-hmm. Like, if I get your, you know, this happened to me now, then I'm like, you're reminded that this person exists. And it's in a more personal level as well, I think. I don't really add everyone all the time. So it would have to be someone that I made a connection with and maybe met for coffee already. So it's different. Like, this is a friend and a peer in the industry that I'm interested in seeing what they're doing. So I think overall, I think it does help. I wish it wouldn't.
You convinced me. Especially when you mentioned, it's for me, it's a reason for me to think about that person.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't.
Definitely.
It reminds me the person exists.
But think about it. Like, it's an industry of networking. I meet so many people in 1 year, and festivals and friends of friends and emails. They're like, there's got to be something that makes you stand out somehow, and that's going to be personal, really, because there's so much talent out there, you know. It's impossible to be like, oh, that's the best, you know. But I can say that's the best and the person I deal the best with the most, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the perfect key, isn't it? It's like, it's someone you want to work with, and that provides what you're looking for. So really, you're looking for a soulmate.
Which social network?
I only have Facebook. I'm new to Instagram now. I'm trying to get better at that. But I'm old school Facebook. Yeah, I don't really have anything else.
Do you like to work with a composer that is close by, physically, geographically, or would you not mind working with somebody in Germany or the US via Skype? Or
I've never worked with a composer who is close to me.
Oh, really?
One was Brazilian, the other one was in Portugal whilst I was here, and the other one was in London. We never really met.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's funny. The last one especially is very emblematic, because there are some directors who like proximity, but then even there, the chances are, at the end of the day, you won't meet very, very often.
Yeah, but it was raw talent. I really like, it wasn't even me who proposed it, but there was people proposing, can I just do a demo?
Mm-hmm.
And I found that so helpful, like, because I can immediately see what they're seeing and, you know, it was great. We did probably end up meeting, but after the job was done, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's talk about sticking with TempScore and you know, something similar to TempScore versus receiving a proposal that is completely different but blows your mind because it works in another way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what I'm trying to ask is, do you keep your mind open for the latter situation to occur? Or when you have a TempScore, do you ask the composer to stay within those guidelines?
So the answer would be, I like to leave them absolutely free, apart from this project that I submitted, because it had a temp song that was from Alt-J, and it was just a bit expensive to get the rights, and the editing had been done at the tempo of the song.
Mm-hmm.
So I did request for it to be not similar, but the tempo and the vibe would have to be similar.
Okay.
But other than that, and all other films, even my graduation film, it was a bit, he was like, do you want to give me where you want music to exist? And quite frankly, I told him, I want you to tell me where you want music, and then we'll go from there. You're the musician. You're the one who knows where the story can be helped or not. I think for me, it's a very, very free process for the composer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the whole point.
Nice. Is there a person you go to when you are undecided with something musical, music bound, like some choices you have to make within the sound, the score, and maybe, you know, you need a second opinion, pair of ears?
I guess I would ask this exactly the same people that I need a second opinion for a shot choice or a script. It would always be my best friend is really good at it. She also works in the industry. She studied as a DP and she's now moved into researching.
Okay.
And maybe that has given her a really good background to, she was the first one that when she saw that first composing that I said it was tonally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's not just me, right? It's like, no, yeah, that's completely. So that was like, I really needed to have that second person being like, yeah, that doesn't match this film at all. And my partner, he's incredibly creative. So I always run everything by him. And sometimes my mom. She's weirdly creative.
I hope you're enjoying the show. Please visit filmscoringtips.com to find additional resources for this episode. Look for the area labeled Labs if you would like to help us shape our content in the future, and to send us tracks that we will review with our guests on future episodes. To find more about this and to understand what I mean, stick around for the next segment.
Before we start assessing the music that our audience submitted, I would like to ask you to go and check our new Patreon page, where you can subscribe to our Patreon and help us create even more amazing content. And on the plus side, you will find free content to download, even if you don't subscribe. So please go to filmscoringtips.com/content to download your free content now. Anna, so we did... you very, very kindly gave us a clip to give the audience to score, and you also shared some instructions with them. What were the instructions?
Yes. So the instructions were put out as, we use the temp music by the artist Alt-J, which allowed us to edit the film to its pacing. So we're going to need about 58 seconds for the intro, 50 seconds during development of the film, and 40 seconds for the conclusion, with a similar feeling, but with a personal touch.
Brilliant. So we did receive many submissions, and we're going to start with Simon Hodge Paulsen's take on the scene. Where is it?
I don't believe any of those, you know, you see in YouTube documentaries or interviews when people say, oh, I love this job, I love waking up in the morning, every morning doing this job. It's a lie. Life is ups and downs. You hate what you do always. Sometimes you are fortunate to love what you do, but that won't happen every day. When you are alone and sober, and you look at the screen and you just see that person, there's nothing else more rewarding than being able to see that person in that picture. When they smile, that's when you can see through the lens. That's when I feel completed, and that's when I feel like I've done a good job. And this is a romantic thing. This is beautiful. You just follow your heart, right? That's what you should do.
I mean, if I wasn't a writer, I wouldn't be me. It could be anything, because I'd be a different person. It's one of those things, like, I can't remember a time when it wasn't what I wanted to do. Being able to wear the skin of any type of person. And I guess the goal, in a sense, is to have an effect on people the way that other writers have had an effect on me. You know, there's certain things that you read and it, like, hits you somewhere and you're like, wow, if I could ever write one sentence that good, it'd be, like, worth living. When people connect with any art, there's, like, happiness there. Even if the art itself is sad, there's, like, the joy of seeing yourself in someone else. It's like, you can't feel completely lonely when... What could be worse than someone with, like, the artistic, creative impulse who doesn't have the luxury to just do whatever with their time? I mean, the people who, if they didn't get that shit job, would starve or live on the streets. You know, it's like, that's... Like, I can't imagine that.
All right. So before I ask you what you think about it, I want to you to know that I did the mix between voice and music in these clips. So that, you know, don't concentrate too much on that. I tried just to make all the elements hearable, but it's not their fault if something sounds off in those regards. What do you think?
I think it was good. I really like this one. I can sense the temp track. So the vibe is there. But then it becomes a bit monotone throughout. Up until the end, when it does, it shifts a little bit because of what she's saying. And it's perfect. And I would have liked to see more of that throughout.
So more changes.
Dynamic. Yeah. It was very, you know, it was two different subjects with the same music.
Right.
And there should be some sort of separation, I think.
Cool.
To make it more more appealing, so, dynamic.
I like to think of these as a simulation of a real life scenario. Mm. And I'm thinking, in this case, there would be a very high success rate, because you would tell the composer, you know, yes, I like the musical world you've created.
Yeah, we would adjust things, yeah.
Maybe change something here.
Yeah.
And then when she comes up at the end, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would say very well done, Simon.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Thank you for submitting, Simon.
Yeah.
Oops. All right. Next is Joel Frias. And this is Joel's take.
I don't believe any of those, you know, you see in YouTube documentaries or interviews when people say, oh, I love this job, I love waking up in the morning, every morning doing this job. It's a lie. Life is ups and downs. You hate what you do always. Sometimes you are fortunate to love what you do, but that won't happen every day. When you are alone and sober, and you look at the screen and you just see that person, there's nothing else more rewarding than being able to see that person in that picture. When they smile, that's when you can see through the lens. That's when I feel completed, and that's when I feel like I've done a good job. And this is a romantic thing. This is beautiful. You just follow your heart, really. That's what you should do.
I mean, if I wasn't a writer, I wouldn't be me. It could be anything, because I'd be a different person. It's one of those things, like, I can't remember a time when it wasn't what I wanted to do. Being able to wear the skin of any type of person. And I guess the goal, in a sense, is to have an effect on people the way that other writers have had an effect on me. You know, there are certain things that you read and it, like, hits you somewhere, and you're like, wow, if I could ever write one sentence that good, it'd be, like, worth living. When people connect with any art, there's, like, happiness there. Even if the art itself is sad, there's, like, the joy of seeing yourself in someone else. It's like, you can't feel completely lonely when... What could be worse than someone with, like, the artistic, creative impulse who doesn't have the luxury to just do whatever with their time? I mean, the people who, if they didn't get that shit job, would starve or live on the streets. You know, it's like, that's... Like, I can't imagine that.
All right. What do you think about Joel's take?
Joel brought a tone to the film that I guess I wasn't looking for, which is, there's a slight difference between being nostalgic and sad, and I feel like it brings the sadness really high up. And at the end of the day, obviously, he doesn't know from the excerpt, but it is a feel-good kind of film as well, and it's about power and feeling strong and doing it and being passionate about things. So I feel quite depressed with their stories, with this song in the background.
You pick up more of the...
It picks up sometimes.
I mean, you pick up more of the sad connotation.
The sad
connotation
of the film. Yeah. It was very heightened by the song. Yeah.
I'm going to say one thing that I really appreciated about Joel's take, though, especially when the music first enters, is how well... and how out of the way of the voice the music is.
Mm.
How well orchestrated in terms
yes,
of selecting. It really, the whole soundtrack, so
yeah.
voice and...
And it was the right choice of instruments
yes.
as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also very realistic in terms of...
It is.
I don't know if maybe, probably he did play
yeah.
some instruments.
Yeah.
It's going to be
I still think we could work around it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, in such case, probably you would say... keep the instruments, keep the
exactly.
tempo or whatever.
100%.
Try a more, you know, happy
yeah,
harmony.
You don't have to get it right at the first time ever. Like, you're allowed to fail and try again.
True.
Like, it'd be a sad
it's almost
world
no
if
fun.
You couldn't.
Yeah, it's no fun when it happens.
Yeah, exactly.
It only happened to me, I think, once or twice. And I was like...
Yeah.
Really?
Also, it's weird. If you don't get notes back,
yeah.
it just feels like you're not being taken seriously. I always feel that.
And you feel you're not evolving together, which is the
yeah,
best thing about
exactly.
working with a filmmaker.
Exactly. No, there's things I really like about what Joel did as well. Yeah, I think if the tone was brought a little bit up, I think it could be... It would have fixed it. It's a really nice take on it.
Awesome. And lastly, we're gonna hear the track from Julia Lesnici. Joel and Julia have been on the program often
awesome.
Now, and I
That's
I
really
love
cool.
yeah, it's very cool. I love their continued support. Please keep going, guys. Thank you so much. We really appreciate. So
that's awesome.
I'm very curious to hear Julia's take. Here it is.
I don't believe any of those, you know, you see in YouTube documentaries or interviews when people say, oh, I love this job, I love waking up in the morning, every morning doing this job. It's a lie. Life is ups and downs. You hate what you do always. Sometimes you are fortunate to love what you do, but that won't happen every day. When you are alone and sober, and you look at the screen and you just see that person, there's nothing else more rewarding than being able to see that person in that picture. When they smile, that's when you can see through the lens. That's when I feel completed, and that's when I feel like I've done a good job. And this is a romantic thing. This is beautiful. You just follow your heart, right? That's what you should do.
I mean, if I wasn't a writer, I wouldn't be me. It could be anything, because I'd be a different person. It's one of those things, like, I can't remember a time when it wasn't what I wanted to do. Being able to wear the skin of any type of person. And I guess the goal, in a sense, is to have an effect on people the way that other writers have had an effect on me. You know, there are certain things that you read and it, like, hits you somewhere, and you're like, wow, if I could ever write one sentence that good, it'd be, like, worth living. When people connect with any art, there's, like, happiness there. Even if the art itself is sad, there's, like, the joy of seeing yourself in someone else. It's like, you can't feel completely lonely. What could be worse than someone with, like, the artistic, creative impulse who doesn't have the luxury to just do whatever with their time? I mean, the people who, if they didn't get that shit job, would starve or live on the streets. You know, it's like, that's... like, I can't imagine that.
Yes!
She nailed it, didn't she?
It has structure, it makes you feel inspired.
The right amount of positivity.
Yeah.
And, yeah, very nice.
That was good.
Julia has this gift.
She gets to create. You know, like, it was, that was the story, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very well done, Julia. there is something I wanted to say. Oh, one thing I've noticed in all three excerpts, this is very technical.
Mm.
The music would bleed out on the movie tail, the one where you see the end sign. Make sure when you send demos, etc., to stay within the boundaries of the actual video, because otherwise, if it is accepted and it works, it might be cut very abruptly and people would jump on their chairs. Just a little technical detail. Anna, I'd love to know what's next for you. What projects are you working on at the moment?
I literally just shot a new short film 2 weekends ago.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been a while, so that's really exciting. Yeah, it's my first comedy as well. It's
kind
of a, yeah, kind of a blunt comedy style. And the footage looks amazing. We're going through the editing process now, and hopefully in like about 2 months we'll have sound and composing done, whilst developing the feature. So that's
awesome.
And hopefully it'll be a really busy summer with lots of work, and yeah, that's kind of what
looking forward to see
for
it
me. Yeah. I will send it to you.
Thank
as
you
feedback.
Yes. Is there one or two piece of advice that you would like to give our audience of composers before parting ways?
I think the most important thing to say, really, really, is that if you don't get a job, it's really not personal. I think that's so important, because for people who are on this side as well, listening to like 150 submissions, like, it's really hard. And sometimes it comes to like 10 people that you want to hire those 10 and you can't, and it'll be for, like, you know, like, I don't know, for whatever reasons, you have to make up reasons, and that doesn't mean that you're not incredibly talented, you know? and yeah, you know, never be discouraged by that. I think that's really important. I would never want to be on the side of like, if you're here and now, it really, really doesn't mean that you shouldn't be doing it. You should be doing it more, you know, email more, apply to more stuff. So much of our industry is right time at the right place. And if you're making your own luck, you know, like doing these things, like now I know who these people are, you know, if you're making more chances of being lucky, then you're doing the right thing, basically. And yeah, I think ultimately it should be about yourself. It should be about the composer as well. Like you should be doing things that you want to do as well. And letting your heart be in your pieces as well. So hopefully, you know, put your foot down sometimes maybe, because mm-hmm. you're going to be the ones who know better what sounds better in whatever piece you're working on.
Lovely. Yeah. That's great piece of advice. Cool. And it was so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for
really
coming.
Yeah, it's really nice to come. Yeah, thank you so much.
That's our show for today. Amazing guests are joining me on the next episodes. One way to be updated on the podcast's programming is to like and follow our Facebook page. Type facebook.com/filmscoringtips on your browser to find it. Now go create something special. I'll see you soon.